Hi, everyone. Before we kick off this week's episode, I wanted to share a little personal story with you related to the Muses. So I went on a short, relatively short trip over to New Orleans just to study the history, visit a lot of the plantations, really just have a good time. And on my way back, or the day I was set to return home to Arizona, I was coming back on this bus from a very lengthy morning plantation tour. On my way back, we were close to the city, and there was a car that kind of jut out in front of the bus. However, I looked at it, and the back or on the rear of the car, there was a bumper sticker that read, "The Muses." What are the chances of seeing that? I had not even put pen to paper at all about the show. I had read about the Muses and I studied them a little bit, but not so much as being prepared to write the full show yet. So I kind of laughed to myself. I felt like it was a confirmation that, yes, they are receptive to my studies and that they're surrounding me as I am putting this together. Additionally, we were in the city and we were not too far from the hotel. The street that we turned on, I just happened to look at, and the name of the street was Calliope. And it's funny because I had gone back and forth as to whether or not to attempt to channel one of the muses, and if so, would they come? And if so, who would I speak with? And it looks like they were reaching out from the ethers to tell me that, of course, you're going to be speaking with the chief muse, Calliope. I just wanted to share this with you because it doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes it does. And also to let you know that, the universe, if you'll call it that, or source, is always paying attention to what it is that you are doing. And they are on the journey with you. So, with that said, let's begin the show. The ancient writer Hesiod speaks of the Muses. They are all of one mind. Their hearts are set upon song, and their spirit is free from care. He is happy whom the Muses love, for though a man has sorrow and grief in his soul, yet when the servant of the Muses sing, at once he forgets his dark thoughts and remembers not his troubles. Such is the holy gift of the Muses to men. Before the nine classical Greek mythological muses, there were only three muses, one of practice, one of memory, and one of speech. The earliest known records of the muses comes from Boeotia, and some ancient authorities regarded them as Thracian in origin. In Thrace, a tradition of three original muses persisted. The Roman scholar Varro also stated that there were only three muses, one born from the movement of water, another who makes sound by striking the air, and a third who is embodied only in the human voice. They were called Meliti, or practice, Nemi, or memory, and Aeoidi, or song. We find in the writings of Plutarch that there are still only three ancient muses. At Delphi, there were three muses, and they were named after the three strings of the early lyre, bottom, middle, and top, or niti, mesi, and ipati. Alternatively, later they're called Cephiso and Apollonies and Borosthenes, names which characterize them as daughters of Apollo. In the first century BC, Diodorus Siculus writes the following. Writers similarly disagree also concerning the number of the muses, for some say that there are three, and others that there are nine, but the number nine has prevailed since it rests upon the authority of the most distinguished men, such as Homer and Hesiod and others like them. Similar to most stories in Greek mythology, the muses were born from a relationship between Zeus and a woman. This time, it was a woman named Mnemosyne, the Titaness. The Greeks believed that the Titans were a race of gods begotten by the union of Uranus, sky, and Gaia, earth, and the Greeks thought of them as these gigantic beings who had ruled the heavens in a very primitive age. Zeus had overthrown the Titans to take over rule of the ancient heavens. Disguised as a shepherd, he slept with Mnemosyne, the Titan goddess of memory, on 9 consecutive nights. 9 months later were born the 9 muses at the foot of Mount Olympus. In time, the muses would come to bring inspiration to other arts, music, along with poetry. The goddesses are as follows: Calliope, Clio, Erato, Euterpa, Melpomene, Polyhymnia, Terpsichore, Thalea, and Urania. All the muses are linked with the creative process, or the female principle. The muses are the companions of the graces. Seated on lofty Mount Olympus near the throne of Zeus, they sang of his greatness, about the marvelous deeds of the splendid Greek heroes, and of the origin of the stars, the earth, and all its wonderful creatures. Both Homeric epics, the Iliad and the Odyssey, begin with an invocation of the muses for inspiration. So who are the ethereal figures who spark the imagination and guide the hands of poets, musicians, and scholars alike? Let us first discuss the chief muse, Calliope. Calliope is the chief muse who inspires epic poetry, and she is often depicted with a writing tablet or a book. Calliope is the eldest muse and is associated with heroic poetry and epic poetry, and she is sometimes shown with a laurel wreath. She is associated with science in general and with eloquence. When Persephone, goddess of the underworld, argued with the goddess of love, Aphrodite, over the affections of handsome Adonis, Zeus sent wise Calliope to be the judge and the arbitress. She decided that Adonis should spend part of the year with Persephone and the rest with Aphrodite. Calliope is the eldest and most distinguished of the 9 muses and initially identified with philosophy. She is the mother of the great poets and mother, speculatively, of the musicians Orpheus and Linus with Apollo. And she is considered the muse of truth-telling. In the sacred quiet of Delphi, I sit with my lyre, channeling the divine rhythms that fuel the epic tales and groundbreaking theories of humanity. As Calliope, my role transcends mere inspiration. I am the channel through which the cosmos speak to poets. Through my voice, the epic songs of old are written and the seeds of new knowledge are sown. The next muse is Clio. Clio is the muse of history and the lyre, often portrayed with a lyre, a chest of books, or a scroll. She is linked to the recording and chronicling of historical events. Generally, she attends political relations between nations and men. She is crowned with laurels, and she also has a trumpet in her left hand, and on the right, she has the book Thucydides. She was credited for introducing the Phoenician alphabet into Greece. As the divine archivist of history, I, Clio, hold the keys to the vault of human experience. My role is to ensure that the stories of yesteryear are faithfully recorded and eloquently told. Through my inspiration, historians piece together the puzzle of our past, and poets breathe new life into the echoes of ancient events, ensuring that our history is remembered and revered. The third muse is named Erato, which means lovely. Erato is associated with romantic and lyric poetry. She is often shown with a lyre and a cithara, a type of ancient Greek lyre. Within the realm of love and lyrical beauty, I, Erato, reign supreme. My divine whispers guide poets to pen verses that stir the soul and elevate the spirit. Through the passion and grace of my inspiration, I illuminate the intricate dance of romance and personal expression. Come with me as we explore how my influence shapes not only the art of poetry, but also the heartfelt discoveries of those who seek to understand the mysteries of the heart. The fourth muse is Euterpa, and her name means the giver of pleasure. Euterpa is known as the muse of music and the flute. She is typically depicted with a flute or other musical instruments. In the Symphony of the Cosmos, where every note resonates with divine harmony, I, Euterpa, muse of music and flute, orchestrate the melodies that guide both artists and scholars. My presence infuses the world with music that transcends time and space, inspiring poets to weave lyrical verses and scientists to explore the mathematical beauty of sound. Join me as I reveal the enchanting melodies of inspiration that shape the realms of creativity and intellect. The fifth muse is Melpomene. Melpomene is the muse of tragedy and dramatic performance. She is often shown with a tragic mask and sometimes a club or a sword, symbolizing the tragic themes of her domain. She is one that is melodious. Despite her cheerful singing, she sings tragedy, and she is said to be the mother of the sirens. In the shadowed realm where sorrow and beauty intertwine, I, Melpomene, the muse of tragedy, guide the exploration of human suffering and resilience. My essence permeates the tragic verses of poets and the contemplative studies of scholars, illuminating the profound depths of the human condition. Join me as I unravel the poignant stories of how my divine inspiration has shaped the art of tragedy and the quest for understanding. The sixth muse is Polyhymnia. Polyhymnia is the muse of sacred hymns and eloquence. She is often depicted in a pensive or meditative pose, reflecting her contemplative nature. She is said to be the mother of Triptolemus and even of Orpheus. In the realm where sacred verses and eloquent speeches intertwine, I, Polyhymnia, orchestrate the divine expression of truth and reverence. My muse guides poets to craft hymns that elevate the soul and scholars to seek the deeper meaning behind religious and philosophical concepts. Journey with me as I explore how my influence shapes the sacred and the scholarly, weaving together the threads of inspiration and understanding. The seventh muse is Terpsichore. Terpsichore is the muse of dance and choral singing. She is frequently depicted dancing or playing a lyre. Some accounts make her the mother of various demigods, Linus, Hymenaeus, Rhesus, and even of the Sirens. In the harmonious fusion of dance and music, I, Terpsichore, inspire the steps of creativity that resonate through both the artistic and scholarly worlds. My divine presence guides dancers to express the essence of their emotions through movement and assists scientists in understanding the fundamental principles of rhythm and motion. Join me as I reveal the impact of my muse on the dance of creativity and the rhythm of discovery. The eighth muse is Thalea. Thalea is associated with comedy and pastoral poetry. She is depicted with a comic mask and sometimes with a shepherd's staff. She is worshipped because the fame of those whose praises she sings flourishes and lasts for long periods of time. Please note that Thalea is also the name of one of the three graces or charities. In the theater of life, where humor and pastoral themes play their roles, I, Thalea, guide the creation of laughter and poetic celebration. My divine touch inspires playwrights to craft comedies that resonate with the human experience, and encourages poets to explore the pastoral beauty of the world. Discover with me how my muse shapes the artistic and intellectual realms through the lens of comedy and pastoral poetry. The ninth and final muse is Urania. Urania is the muse of astronomy and celestial objects, astrology, and even universal love. She is often shown with a globe or a compass, symbolizing her connection to the heavens. Urania is dressed in a cloak embroidered with stars, and she keeps her eyes towards the sky. Her name means heavenly. And Urania is so named because she raises her disciples to heavenly heights. Among her other talents, she could foretell the future by the position of the stars. Those who are most concerned with philosophy and the heavens are dearest to her. From the vantage point of the stars, I, Urania, muse of astronomy and astrology, weave the fabric of inspiration that connects the universe with human creativity. My divine guidance helps poets articulate the beauty of the night sky and aids scientists in deciphering the complex patterns of celestial bodies. Explore with me how my muse bridges the artistic and scientific dimensions of our understanding of the cosmos. The god dearest to the muses was Apollo, and they were his faithful followers. For that reason, he is often called the Musgetes, which means leader of the muses. A few others claim that Hypnos, the god of sleep, was their favorite. Beside them on Mount Olympus were seated the three charities, or the three graces, who were the attendants of Aphrodite, and they personified charm and beauty. And next to the graces sat Imerus, which was desire. Philosophers such as Pythagoras even took the muses as their special goddesses. The muses were believed to inspire poets, musicians, and artists, providing them with creativity and insight. They were often invoked at the beginning of epic poems and other literary works for inspiration. The muses were frequently depicted as accompanying the gods and playing a role in the divine and the earthly realms. They were seen as mediators between the divine and human worlds, facilitating the transmission of divine knowledge and creativity. The muses were honored with festivals and cults in various parts of Greece. The most famous sanctuary dedicated to the muses was the Museion, which we call today the Modern Museum, at Delphi, where the muses were worshipped alongside Apollo. The muses also sang at the wedding of Cadmus and Harmonia, the wedding of Peleus and Thetis, and at the funeral of Achilles. The muses taught Aristaeus the art of prophecy and healing and instructed the nymph Echo to play beautiful music. Their disciples also included the Sphinx, who learned her riddle from them, and Musaeus, whom some call a son of the great poet Orpheus. He was trained by the muses. While the muses were instruments of inspiration and creativity, they did not take too kindly to those who challenged them. One such figure willing to challenge them was a minstrel named Thamyris, a Thracian bard. Thamyris boasted he was a better musician than the muses. He challenges them in a musical contest in a city called Dorium. As a consequence, he was blinded and robbed of his talents. Similarly, a Phoenician bard, Demodocus, who appears in Homer's Odyssey, dared to challenge them, and he ended up sharing a similar fate with his eyes plucked out one by one. In another story, King Pyrenaeus of Daulis, in a misguided effort, unaware of the muses' true nature, tried to seduce them, only to meet his demise as he leapt from a tower trying to follow them. The muses could fly. The king, however, could not. Additionally, Hera, queen of the gods, persuaded the sirens to challenge the muses, but unsurprisingly, they lost to them as well, and the muses made themselves crowns from the sirens' feathers. The muses are sometimes called the Pierides, but others think that these were nine sisters, daughters of a man called Pyrrhus, who dared challenge the muses in a contest of song. And having been defeated, they were turned into magpies, greenfinches, goldfinches, ducks, and other birds. Even though they are usually described as virgin goddesses, the muses are said to be the mothers of a few mythical musicians and dancers. Orpheus was often identified as the son of Calliope, as were sometimes the sirens, who were more commonly linked to either Terpsichore or Melpomene. Linus, the great musician and orator of Thrace, was fathered by Apollo with either Calliope or Urania, and the Corvandis were usually described as sons of Thalea. And in addition, Hyacinthus was thought of as the son of Clio, and Rhesus as the son of either Calliope or Euterpe. The muses of Greek mythology had one of the most important functions of all: to inspire poets and promote the arts and sciences. The fortunate person inspired by them was held in the highest esteem and considered sacred far beyond any priest. The muses were often described as the queens of song, and no Olympian banquet was complete without them. If you wish to connect with the muses, we must look to their mythology to discern appropriate offerings. The sacrifices offered to the muses in return for divine inspiration consisted of libations of water or milk and honey. In order to connect, I would recommend lighting a white candle, lighting some frankincense incense, and then present your offering. You may invoke the muse of your choice for whatever reason, and I would consider reciting the Orphic hymn dedicated specifically to the muses, which I will place in the show notes. If you are interested in connecting to the chief muse, Calliope, and don't forget she is the muse of eloquence and epic poetry, you can consider the following. Calliope is often invoked by writers to grant success and eloquence in their work. Don't forget that epic poems often began with a request to Calliope for inspiration. You may consider invoking her for public speaking. Calliope can be invoked before a public speaking event, before a debate, or even to assist with creating a connection with your audience. Calliope is said to have anointed the lips of kings with honey to give them the gift of eloquence and diplomacy. So don't forget an offering of honey. And do not forget to consider her symbols, which include the lyre, the stylus, and the writing tablet. She is often considered in art holding this writing tablet and a stylus as she's getting ready to write an epic poem. So consider giving her an offering of honey, perhaps a pen, perhaps a piece of paper, and printing out her image and reciting the Orphic hymn directly to communicate with the goddess and chief muse, Calliope. Everyone, today's episode about the muses is complete. And if things go well, I look forward to sharing a lovely transmission from the goddess Calliope. Everyone, until next time, take care.